I want you to imagine with me this morning. When's the last time some of us have imagined and pretended and put ourselves back in a place? I want you to do that with me this morning, okay? First of all, are there any six-year-olds in the room? Any six-year-olds? Anybody five or six or seven? Okay, we got one back there. There she is, Chloe. Everybody look at Chloe. See her hand back there? Now try to remember, some of you, this is a stretch. Remember when you were six. Imagine that you were 6 years old. Imagine that it's wintertime. Imagine that you're cold and that this time of year you're always cold because you live on the streets like these kids in Tibet. Imagine that you rarely, if ever, get what we would call a square meal, Glenn. And Glenn's and mine are usually squarer than others, but you never get a real meal. You're 6 years old, you're cold. The clothes that you do have are threadbare, they're filthy, they're too small. Especially those shoes you've got on. They've got holes in the bottoms of them. You live there on the streets of whatever town you can imagine that for yourself. I know you've got parents somewhere around. They really only show up every now and then, and it's usually when they need to use you to go beg money so they can get the money from you and go buy drugs or whatever it is to support their useless life apart from you but not being good parents whatsoever. Imagine as even as a six-year-old child there on the street. In the cold of winter, you're regularly tempted by that older teenager down the street to try for yourself some illegal drugs in order to try to escape all the pain in your life. And matter of fact, you've been thinking a lot about that. And probably next time that bigger boy down the road offers you those drugs, you're going to do it. You're going to go for it. It just hurts. And anything to numb the pain would be good, you think to yourself. Life is more than hard, it's more than unhappy. You're just flat out miserable and you're a kid on the streets. Imagine being right there. I've got a niece and nephew who were there on the streets of a town in Ukraine for several years before they were taken to an orphanage. And later adopted by my brother-in-law and sister. Now imagine that out of the clear blue sky, someone who might as well be the world's richest man comes to your town and he comes down your street. And he even finds your alley and he catches you in your dumpster where you normally dig for food every day. And he says, son, honey, I'm here to take you home. You don't really know what that means. It doesn't really mean anything when he first starts talking because you don't know what home's all about. I want to adopt you. I want to make you my child. You'll have your own room. You'll have plenty of food to eat. You'll have clean clothes to fit you. You'll get to go to school. And I'll be your daddy and I'll love you like you ought to be loved. Now, I'm going to discipline you when you need it because that's what's best for you. But I promise you to always be out of love. And hey, we're going to talk and play together. We're going to laugh together. You'll be warm. You don't have to be cold. And I'll hold you and tell you that I love you every day. And all you've got to do, little boy, all you got to do, little girl, is just say yes and we can go on home. Did you know that Christmas is about adoption? We talk about being about a birth, right? And it's that. But what I want you to see today is that this birth is really about adoption. It's about family and the freedom that comes by being adopted into God's family. I'm going to boil the message down for you real short and simple. Jesus, God had a natural son, his only begotten, and his name was what?
Jesus.
And he was born into the world so that when he grew up and became the Savior, we'll talk about that name in a minute, you and I could be adopted into the King's family. And folks, whether you like the image or not, to different degrees, to varying degrees, all of us were those kids, orphaned on the street, living in sin, away from God, without hope, without peace, without the family that we needed. And yet Jesus was born that we might be adopted into His family. Jesus was born, here's what I want you to take home, Jesus was born to make us free as God's children. He came to set us free from all that stuff on the streets of sin, on the streets of our own self and our own self-planning and self-guided lives. He came to set us free from all of that by making us God's children. Now listen to me. Jesus was not born on Christmas morning to convert us to a religion of rules and regulations, but rather to call us into a relationship of grace and love. Just like that fine man that went to the dumpster to take that kid home. Jesus was born, you see, because His Father wanted to become our Father by adoption. I want you to look with me in your Bibles, and it'll be on the screen for the most part, to Galatians, if you want to turn there. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 7.
There's my water.
While you're turning there. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 7. This is where we get the truth and the understanding that Jesus was born to make us free as God's children. Here's what Paul said. Did you know there was a Christmas text in Galatians, by the way? But when the right time came, God sent His Son, here's Christmas, born of a woman, subject to the law. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. That's an interesting phrase there at the beginning. When the right time came. Your translation may say, when the fullness of time had come. The fullness of what time? The right time according to who? According to God. What does that tell you about God and time? He's got a plan. And all of history is His story that He's working out right on time. It was planned before the world ever began, and He's working out our days and our years just right on time. And what this tells you is that on the day Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a manger in a feeding trough, it was right on time. It was the day God had planned from before all of eternity. God graciously had a plan to send Jesus to rescue us. And when the time was just perfect, God sent His Son. When the right time came, God sent His Son. So encouraging to me to know that God is in control. That God's always been in control. That the things that happen, you know, if you look at this manger, isn't that pretty? Somebody got this for us so we could enjoy this as we worship. But you know, in truth, it was an ugly thing. It was out back behind the inn, in the stables, perhaps in a cave. It was nasty, stinky. I mean, it looks like a real mess up for a birth of a king, right? And yet it was right on time. And that's just a good reminder to us, you know, sometimes things are in our lives, we just look at them and think, good night, this is a mess. How can this be good? How can this be part of what God is up to in my life? It looks like a mess, it looks so wrong, and yet God is working right on time in your life and in those circumstances. And you say, you don't know about my circumstances. Well, no, I don't. But I know about God. He can take the worst of circumstances, and in His plan, He can be working them for good. And folks, the Bible says He is ultimately working them for good. Well, the verse goes on. Born of a woman. God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. You see, God the Son became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He became one of us. God sent His Son to be born of a woman, and as such, as a human being like us, subject to the law of God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it's worded this way, "So the Word, that is God the Son, became human and lived here on earth among us." That's Christmas. So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. It's not on the PowerPoint, but if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Born of a woman, subject to the law. You read that and think, Paul, what's that got to do with anything? Why is that significant? Well, you see, in order for Jesus to be our Savior, He had to be born of a woman. He had to become one of us. He had to be a man so that He could be subject to the law. We'll talk about why that's important later. But in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "But God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood." That's me and you. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. Listen, for only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil who had the power of death. What does the Bible say that the wages of my sin and yours is? What do we earn by that? Death. We're going to see more about that in a minute. Jesus had to become one of us if He was going to be our Savior. He had to be born of a woman, subject to the law. It was necessary if He would be our Savior. And so Christmas is about Jesus getting in place, if you will, on the stage of redemption, getting where He had to be in order to become the Savior. It's about Him taking on flesh and becoming one of us, that He might, as one of us, though without sin, die for us and become our Savior. Verse 5 of Galatians chapter 4 goes on. Tells us why God sent Him. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. There it is. Christmas is about adoption. Jesus was born to make us free as the children of God. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. You know, we read last week from John chapter 3 that God sent His Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse goes on and says, He didn't send Him to condemn the world. We were already condemned. We didn't need Jesus to show up to condemn us. We were already condemned because God's holy. We're not, and we're really not. Amen? We're already condemned. But He sent His Son to redeem us. He sent His Son so that we didn't have to be condemned anymore, but we could be forgiven. In other words, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. Jesus was born to be our substitute concerning the law of God. You see, when Jesus was born of a woman subject to the law, He was sent to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. His life, as He grew up as a little boy and on into manhood, his life was perfect, the Bible says. He was without sin. His life perfectly fulfilled the requirements of God's law for us. And then, on the cross, His death perfectly satisfied the curse of God's law against us. We'll look at that in just a minute. Also, if you've got your Bibles, Galatians, it's not on the screen, Galatians 3, verses 23 to 25. Galatians 3, verses 23 to 25 talk again about our relationship to the law. In Galatians 3, verse 23, it says, "Until faith in Christ was shown to us as the way of becoming right with God, we were guarded by the law, We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until we could put our faith in the coming Savior. Let me put it another way, Paul says. The law was our guardian and teacher to lead us until Christ came. So now, through faith in Christ, we are made right with God. But now that faith in Christ has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. You see, God gave the law through Moses. The Ten Commandments and all the rest of His commands, right? And the Bible says here in Galatians that the law's intention, the design of the law, was never to be the way to God. And yet, for all of human history, people have taken it that way, haven't we? Including us, at times. We think something like, well, if I could just be a little bit better, if I could just do a little bit better. We think in terms of a checklist, and God follows a checklist. Okay, I did that one today, I'm going to try to keep this one today. And we think that if we just line our lives up with the standards of God, then somehow we can earn a right standing with Him. He'll like us enough to let us in when it's all over, right? That's religion across the world. That's the natural bent of our own hearts. And yet God says that was never the design. In fact, in another place, over in Romans, the Bible tells us that the law was given to show us just how unholy and unrighteous and unable to keep the law we are. How many of you ever perfectly kept the Ten Commandments? Raise your hand. I was trying to catch you, but I couldn't catch you. Nobody. Except Jesus. You know what the Bible says in Romans that the law does? All the law does is condemn us. And listen, that's always been its design. Don't miss this. God didn't have a plan A that failed, and He had to come through with plan B in Jesus. That ain't the deal. Plan A, the only plan, has always been Jesus. The law was put in place till Jesus came, just at the right time, as we saw a while ago, to show all the world just how much we needed someone, just how unrighteous we are, and just how bad we needed a Savior who would do it all for us, who would live that the law out perfectly in our place, and then go to the cross and suffer the law's curse for us. And that's what Galatians 3, verse 14 is about. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. What is that curse? We talked about it a while ago. What does the law say to you as you stand before the law of God, the holy commands of God? What does the law say to you? You're condemned, and you're, what you've earned by your sin and in transgression of the law is what? Death. That's your punishment. But Christ rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. The debt we deserved, He took it. For it is written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And Jesus hung there on the tree, cursed, not for His own sins, the Bible says, but for your sins and mine. Take the curse away. Jesus was born to be our substitute concerning God's law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us as His very own children. He had to deal with our sin to welcome us into His family that's a family of holiness. Amen? He had to deal with our sin. He had to give us righteousness that we didn't have. But He did both in Jesus by His perfect life and His sin atoning death. But what's the result of that? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us. Okay, I don't know what I did typing this, but I boogered it all up. No, now there is no condemnation. No. I think it just is supposed to say, now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus purchased freedom for us on the cross. He was born to give us to bring us into the freedom of the family of God. Now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Just let that sink in a minute. Let me just ask you, this past week, did you do anything wrong as a Christian? If you're a believer here, did you do anything wrong this past week?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad. I was worried. I figured I'd be the only one here this morning, but I'm glad to know that you blew it too. You know what? Does that sin not deserve condemnation? Does it not deserve condemnation?
Sure it does.
This says now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. How is that? Jesus took the condemnation 2,000 years ago and it applied to every sin that we'll ever commit. So if there's no condemnation, we're forgiven for that sin. Listen to me. That sin wasn't just forgotten like my grandma does. I thought my grandma ought to love her. I can do no wrong. God ain't like that. That sin was taken care of in Jesus. Jesus, the ones that you just thought about from this past week, Jesus died for those. Justice was served on your sins. You just didn't have to be the one to bear it. Neither did I. Galatians 5, verse 1. So Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. You know, do you know who the people were that hated Jesus when he came? Didn't take long. One long after he was born, he was a boy, they started hating him. As he grew, it got worse. Do you know who the ones that hated him the worst were? It wasn't just the real bad and nasty people. Like some of us used to be. It wasn't those. It was the religious people. It was those that were all caught up in slavery to the law. It was those foolish enough, and we've all been there, not pointing fingers at them, it's realizing we've been like them as well, but it was those that really thought that they had special standing with God because they had the list of rules and they did fairly well keeping. Those people hated Jesus, but Jesus came in and said, listen, take all your rules and take the law, the way you've been handling the law and using the law, and throw it out. That has nothing to do with God. I didn't come to give you religion. Christmas is not the birth of a religion. It's the birth of a relationship. It's the gateway to adoption into the family of God. And again, why did he do all this? Galatians 4, 5, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I didn't explain this picture at the beginning, by the way, but this is a picture of a slave that's broke loose and he's free. That is the family of freedom that we're part of. Now, since Christ has taken the curse for us and made us righteous before God, the Father can adopt us into his family forever if we'll just simply accept the gift. What did you have to do is in our imaginary story at the beginning when the rich man came to take you home out of the dumpster? What did he say you had to do? The only thing you had to do? Just take the gift and go home with it. That is Christmas. That's why Jesus came. Verses 6 and 7 of Galatians 4. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So he sent Jesus so we could be adopted as his sons. Now, assuming you trust Jesus today, this part's true for you. Because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. One translation I looked at, a more contemporary translation, said, oh, prompting us to call him our dear Father. The word Abba in Aramaic and Hebrew, it's the word we would use for daddy. And I don't want you to miss the richness and just the unbelievable power of this verse. Because we are his children, look, God the Father has sent the Spirit of His Son. Who's His Son?
Jesus.
Jesus lives into our hearts. And with Jesus' Spirit, God's natural Son, His, if you will, by blood Son, whose Spirit lives in our heart, prompts us, the adopted children, to call out to God the Father, not just Father, but Daddy. Abba Father. Daddy. Isn't that amazing? That is what Christmas is about. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And get this, and since you are his child,
God has made you His heir. He doesn't only bring us into the family. You know, here's the deal. God could have gone a long way, but let me tell you, He went all the way. He could have just gone a long way and brought us into the family and forgiven us our sins and made us an adopted brother of the Lord Jesus and left it at that. But He didn't. He gave us the inheritance. The Bible says we are joint heirs with who? With Christ. You just listen to that. Don't miss that. That does not belittle Christ. You know what that does? That exalts us. That makes us Jesus. Don't misunderstand. But it makes the blessings that we receive to be just as rich as those that Jesus will enjoy for all of heaven. You're talking about grace. You're talking about love. You're talking about the benefits of adoption. That's unbelievable. Jesus was born to make us free as God's children. You know, we need to get this today so that we can celebrate the freedom that Christmas brings. The freedom that comes from being in God's family. He did not come to Bethlehem in a feeding trough to convert us to a religion of rules and regulations, but to call us into a relationship of grace and love. Jesus was born because His Father wanted to become our Father by adoption. So, what do you and I need to do with this truth this morning? So what? So what that Jesus was born to make us free as God's children? What do we do with it now? Well, you know what? If you're here this morning and you don't know God as your Father personally, you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior and been adopted into God's family, then like our imaginary story at the beginning, that's not really so imaginary, spiritually speaking. Then you need to simply take the gift of family and freedom that God's offering you this morning. You need to just say yes and climb out of that dumpster and go home to live forever with God as your daddy. I'm telling you what, if you'll do that, if you're here today, you need to do that, and you will do that, if you go ahead and do it, you'll have the best Christmas you've ever had. But you know, if you're already in the family this Christmas season, by the grace of God, then just slow down and remember what an awesome thing your adoption really is. And while you're doing that, remember what it was like on the streets before God came to take you home as His own. And celebrate Christmas with renewed gratitude and enjoyment of the freedom of God's family. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28, a little bit earlier than where we've been in the letter to the Galatians, Paul says this: "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Right before this, we read those verses a minute ago where it said that the law was basically our guardian until Christ came. And Paul makes it real clear: "For you are all children of God, not through law keeping, not through religious rule keeping. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." All of us. "And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. All we had on, the Bible says, was filthy rags. We were just clothed in filthy rags, no righteousness of our own, and now we've been able to put on Christ like new clothes. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." It doesn't mean that these things actually disappear, that you magically change nationalities when you become a Christian, or that suddenly there is no
gender amongst Christians. It simply means that all those things that matter in the world, all those dividing barriers and distinctions in the world no longer apply. Oh, listen to me. All those things that in some religions matter and keep you separate or at a lower tier or whatever it may be don't matter. We are all one in Christ Jesus. All of our differences racially, economically, our life's history-wise, we're very different in this room, aren't we? All the baggage from the past. You know, my baggage is different than your baggage, and it's different than the guy or gal next to you's baggage. All of our differences disappear when we trust Jesus. It doesn't mean they go away. We don't have to deal with some of those things. It means they no longer keep us from Christ. Yep. They no longer keep us from God or one another. Because we're all forgiven the same way. And if you just got a few more bags than the one next to you, or if I've got several more than you've got from my past, you know what? That doesn't mean I'm second rate next to you. We have common access and equal access and the same fullness of salvation and love and familyness with God because we're all adopted through Christ. We're all forgiven the same way by trusting Jesus who is our substitute. It's not by being religious or keeping all the rules or being a member of a particular church or going through certain rituals prescribed by tradition that we somehow hope to make things right with God. It's through a relationship of trust in God where we rely on what God said, and that is that Jesus did it all for us and that therefore we're forgiven and adopted. As we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, moved on me, it's over there. We celebrate God's grace in several ways. We celebrate the forgiveness of our sins made possible because Jesus was born to die for us. This morning we celebrate our adoption into God's family made possible because Jesus became one of us and paid the price for our sins. We celebrate our forever family, both here in this place, in this room, each other, and around the world, in the family of God. And we celebrate God's once and for all statement that religion sends you straight to hell. But a relationship with Jesus, trusting the one who was born to die, is the path to freedom and ultimately to heaven. Ultimately to the everlasting presence of God where we call Him face to face, Daddy. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine not just that day, that eternity? And so that's what we celebrate as we come to the table this morning. Bow your head with me as we prepare our hearts to do just that. Father, what an awesome salvation. Thank you for sending Jesus to be born that we might be adopted as your children. Lord, as we come now to remember Christ's death on the cross for us and His resurrection. Father, I pray that You search our hearts. You tell us in Your Word, Lord, if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And that is why we should examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And You tell us that there in Corinth there were some that were weak and sick and some had even died under Your judgment because they played games with this meal we're about to eat. Lord, we know we can't be worthy of it, but we can come in a way that shows what Jesus' death on the cross was worth. We can come with hearts of faith,
that believe Jesus paid it all. And Lord, I pray this morning that if any here don't believe that, they don't sincerely trust Christ's death on the cross, then Lord, you would help them be courageous enough to stay where they are and not dishonor the body and blood of Christ. But Father, if there's any here today who don't know Jesus personally but want to, who more than anything in the world right now, because of the work of your Holy Spirit in their hearts, they want to be adopted. They want to go home with Jesus as their Savior. They want to go home and live forever with the only perfect Father. They want to know what that everlasting family of the God who made them and the Savior who loves them is all about. And God, I pray that as we come to this table, they would come and with faith eat and drink. And what we do outwardly with our mouths with a piece of bread and some grape juice, God, that is only a sign, has no saving power in it, that it would be a picture for all of us of what has happened or today is happening in our hearts towards you. Glorify Christ now, we ask it in Jesus' name.